Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. We're on our third episode. Very exciting. And today I'm honored to and humbled to have one of my friends join us today, Dwayne McDaniel. Dwayne, welcome to the show.
Hey.
So tell me a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So my name is Dwayne McDaniel. I am a developer advocate here at Pantheon. I say here at Pantheon because that's where I'm recording this from, one of our new phone booths, calls rooms here at Pantheon.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. And what does that mean, that your job title? What does that mean that you actually do?
Developer advocate. I interface with the community and basically any developer, try to help them figure out what's going on. I always like to sum up my job very simply as I help people figure stuff out. And that's basically all it is. My department, developer relations, we have a mission to attract, inspire, and educate people about Pantheon and all the amazing things you can do around the space. Some of my favorite parts of my job are training people, actually getting on the phone with them or a Zoom call and walking them through not just Pantheon, but how they can better improve their workflow, how to use, you know, third-party tools like WP CLI or, you know, things like Circle CI, other things that have eyes in them. All the eye stuff. Other parts of my job are getting to travel. I'm actually wearing my WordCamp Nashville shirt.
I see that.
WordCamp US last year. I'm going to WordCamp Europe this year. I don't know when this will be broadcast, but before or after it. Either way, I'm going.
Either have already been there or are going one way or the other, right?
That's correct. So I get to travel quite a bit and help people inside of Pantheon as well figure things out. Help them understand what the community is facing and bring that feedback that I get from the rest of the world back to our management and tell them, like, this is how we can better serve everyone.
And that's how I got to know you, is through traveling and running into you at WordCamp after WordCamp as well. So it's been a pleasure to know you before today as well, and count you as one of my friends. So
absolutely,
thanks for that. So this is WP Coffee Talk, of course. So I ask everybody to have a mug and to tell a little bit about their mug, and then tell me what's in your mug. So what's up with your mug?
So for the past, I would say, going on 4 years now, I've been using this or a mug just like it. We have like six of these. We might not have six anymore. I don't know. I just find the one that I left from the day before in the dishwasher when I come in the morning. And it's been this mug for a very long time. Nothing's really special about it. It used to have green, this white bits out here. It used to be bright green. And that dishwasher took all of the color off but left that background. It's a good size. You know, I'm not a small person. So my hands are... You wrap around it big. Yeah. And it just dissipates heat well. That's what the other thing I really like. I drink a lot of warm beverages all day, mostly hot water.
Okay.
But I start with a cup of tea in the morning, have like espresso in the afternoon maybe. But throughout the day, I'm constantly hydrating. And I like to get hot water in here and then let it cool down over time. And, you know, that's why I like this cup. It dissipates heat very well.
And what are you drinking tonight?
Tonight, I'm actually having a dandelion root tea. I was inspired by one of my favorite YouTube series over the past weekend. I watched it's Emmy Made in Japan is the name of the channel, and she makes and tries interesting things, interesting foods, and describes them in very great detail. And she made her own dandelion root tea off of a recipe from the Civil War. And it's a coffee alternative. So it has the same bitterness that you'd expect from coffee. Not the same taste as coffee. It's definitely not coffee. But of all the tea drinks I've had recently, this definitely is the most coffee-like. So it's like I'm drinking coffee, but it's herbal. No caffeine.
And you like it?
Very much.
That's good. Sometimes people drink things they don't like because it's healthy for them. I am not a proponent of drinking things you don't care for. So
I completely agree.
I am drinking out of my Give mug today. Most people know that I work for Give. I work for impress.org, and Give is one of our products. And in my cup today, I have water because it is now after 7:30 at night. And if I were to have a cup of coffee right now, I would probably still be awake when the sun came up in the morning. So I'm going to stick to water tonight. But usually I do have a nice breakfast blend with some cream and sugar.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's the same reason. It's... Yeah, I'm on the West Coast, so 3 hours earlier, but still, I don't want to be up all night. The older I get, exactly. The more caffeine affects me after four.
Exactly. But regardless of what's in our cup, WP Coffee Talk is about having a nice conversation between friends over whatever's in our cup, so coffee or otherwise. So tell me a little bit about how you got started in the WordPress industry. Now, I know that Pantheon is not just WordPress. Is that correct?
That is correct. I got two questions to answer. So let me start with myself. I had been using WordPress.com. I don't even remember when I started. Maybe 2010. Writing various blogs here and there. I've been a blogger for many, many years. The vast majority of my work was on MySpace. And when that all vanished, that was a mixed blessing. And that taught me the importance of you really do need to own your own copy. And that's one of the tenets of open source. And the fact that, you know, Murdoch can't just decide we're not doing this anymore and just get rid of it all. So that's how I originally found WordPress. I was just a casual user, though. I never even thought about WordPress as a platform, just a website, really. And then when the end of 2013, I was very heavily involved in the improv community in San Francisco and decided to do this pretty ambitious at the time project to unite all of the theaters under one banner called the SF Improv Calendar. And I bought the domain and I started building that functionality out. And I realized pretty quickly that the tool of choice to do something ambitious I wanted to like that with a lot of content types, with a lot of users, was actually Drupal. It could do it pretty much out of the box, except my local install of everything, I had ran into the classic, MySQL didn't recognize my PHP version, and every developer in the world knows that feeling. And I was ready to throw the whole thing out the window and just move on with my life. But a friend of mine who went to college with one of the founders of Pantheon said, no, just put it on Pantheon, it'll just work. And sure enough, I went home and 5 hours later had a version of the website completely functional. It didn't look great, and it took me a while to get it to look all right, but it was completely functional for the vision I had in mind. I know that's not a WordPress story, but that's okay. What got me to Pantheon. I was like, well, what are these guys all about? Like, this is seems like a really interesting platform. And I came in about the time that they were starting to open up the door to work on WordPress stuff. The first time I ever touched WordPress code was middle of 2015. It was the first time I ever downloaded and installed WordPress itself. And then it wasn't until October of that year, WordCamp Toronto, that I actually met the community. So I'd gone to DrupalCon and various Drupal events up to that point. But there was something really stuck out about that event. And I said, yeah, I want to go back to another WordCamp. It turns out I had just missed the last WordCamp San Francisco, where I'm headquartered. And that was the last one. And I've kind of regretted that and kicked myself a few times. It wasn't my fault. I just wasn't involved in the space. And I just didn't know what I was missing at that point. But that's the very long, windy version of how I got to WordPress. And then once I started digging in, you know, that's where I've been. I still do a lot of Drupal work, still go to a lot of Drupal events, but work on WordPress stuff.
And I know that you've been involved in a lot of community aspects of WordPress as well. So obviously I've seen you at WordCamps. I've seen you representing Pantheon, of course, but you do more than just represent Pantheon at WordCamps. So what I didn't know was when I showed up to the Contributor Day for WordCamp US last year, that you were one of the leads that day of what we're all doing. And like, you got me on the Trello board and you got me all those things. So talk a little bit about what you've done with the community too.
Oh, sure. So I see a very important part of any open source project is the giving back, is the actual putting time back into the project. We're using this code for free. But it's free as in beer, and it's also free as in kittens. You have to take care of it. You really do. And if it doesn't, it's going to die. If nobody takes care of it, it'll die. So it's very important we jump back in. Now, back when I first started contributing, my technical skill prowess, you know, was pretty low. I hadn't been doing anything technical for a while, like building websites, sure, but not getting in at, you know, deep code level, right? Core really intimidated me. And it was at WordCamp Atlanta 2017, actually, that I sat down and Bridget Willard, who was assisting with the marketing team, said, I need some help. And I just started helping her. We went to WordCamp Europe that year, and that's where we set up the Trello boards. And then later that year at WordCamp Seattle, I was watching the keynote. Andrew Middleton said, we have the two leads of the marketing team here, Bridget. I'm like, oh, who's the other person? He's like, oh, and Dwayne, where are you? Stand up. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'm a lead now. And that is how I became a rep for
marketing.
And literally, very happy to do it. We wrote and created some of the things I'm very, very proud of and my contribution over the years. But after about 2 years of doing that, quite honestly, I felt that, you know, I'd kind of served my term on doing all that. After having helped write the jargon glossary, which is one of my proudest things that we ever got done, creating the Trello board itself, implementing that in a way that other teams took it and ran with it. The training team and the design team are also using Trello now. And then at WordCamp Atlanta this year, after being a little directionless, not sure where I was going to contribute the most next, I still was showing up to contributor days like at WordCamp Phoenix and helping people sort things out. If you show up to a contributor day and say, I want to help, and that's all you know, you just need some guidance. You just need someone to tell you, here, go read this, or what are you interested in, and facilitate those conversations. And I really do enjoy doing that. But at WordCamp Atlanta this year, someone from the WordPress TV team, Steven, name's blanking on me right now, his last name. But Steven stood up and said, well, here's what we need people to do. And it's like, well, I can do all of those things. I'm very familiar with how to do those things. So why don't I just pitch in? And since WordCamp Atlanta, that's where I've been spending my time. Is very proud to say I got WordCamp Manchester edited and uploaded, WordCamp Lancaster uploaded. So I don't know if those are approved yet to get actually out on WordPress TV. They will be by the time this airs probably. Yeah. But if you know how to handle video editing equipment, even slightly, even iMovie, desperately need some help. That's the WordPress TV team is really only slowed down by the amount of processing hours we have.
Right.
It's really simple ask. Simply watch the thing, make sure it's appropriate, follows the guidelines, cut in a slide at the beginning and the end, make sure you can actually hear the thing, and then upload it. And that's a little bit of metadata work. But anyway, that's where I've been spending my time for contributing, you know, the last little bit.
That's great. Fantastic. And you do this other little thing called karaoke?
Oh, WC karaoke. Well, not just WC karaoke. Karaoke in general, it is my jam. I sing karaoke at least once a week. Weeks, 3 or 4 times a week. It is one of the rituals that keeps me very grounded. That every karaoke bar is kind of like every other karaoke bar in the world. And insofar as there's a DJ who actually manages things, there's the singing aspect, there's typically a bar involved. And it just, no matter where you are, karaoke is karaoke. And there's a spirit to it, and this is just a niceness to it. So I was very happy to meet a lot of other people in the WordPress community who also love karaoke. So I definitely did not start WC karaoke. Somebody else started that hashtag long before I did. Matt from GoDaddy and Mendel had a conversation once that they both think they started it. I'm not going to argue with them, not on a podcast that they're not on, but back at WordCamp US, the last one in Philly. So that was 2017.
Yep.
The last WordCamp Philly, our WordCamp US in Philly, we actually made a hashtag and a Twitter account, and we started throwing larger and larger parties. In fact, Nashville this past year, one of my proudest achievements I've ever pulled off in the community at all was I rounded up and spread the word that, hey, there's this massive karaoke party happening. And then an hour before the actual party was supposed to start, I found out that the venue that we had decided on was overrun by a completely different crowd and it wouldn't have been a good fit. So we very quickly called audibles, changed, I think, 3 times. But thanks to the love of the Twitter community, like about 150 people still showed up. A Wannabes on Broadway, and it was just a magnificent time. People said that was one of the best parties they went to the whole time, and just super proud. Not that I pulled it off. I am a little proud of that, but sure. proud that people walked away saying, wow, we really, as a community, came together and made this happen. Because that's what it was. If people would have been like, I need someone to specifically say at this time, I need an RSVP 3 months in advance, it would have been very different.
Yeah.
No, the people are like, just go with the flow. And that's the spirit of karaoke. We're just going to go and see what happens.
It's almost like, what do they call those? Where everybody just shows up and does it at the same time. I can't even think what they call that now, but
flash mobs.
Yeah. Like a flash mob, like flash karaoke, which could be taken entirely the wrong way. So forget I said that.
We're all just going to sing Flash Gordon songs off a Flash Gordon soundtrack, which is not a great soundtrack.
No, not so much. Not so much. No.
I own it on vinyl, but, would not recommend buying it.
So people want to know about you. Do you have more than one purple jacket, or are we wearing that same purple jacket to most of those karaoke's?
Purple jacket. So you're either talking about one of two jackets. One, my WordCamp Baltimore speaker jacket. And yes, I only have one of those because I've spoken there twice, but they only gave me one jacket.
There's a velvet one I'm talking about. World.
Ah, that one. That one's actually dead. That one broke. The banting finally started showing through in the arms because I drag cleaned two times. I need to go get another one of those. I'm waiting for Men's Warehouse to have another buy one, get one free sale.
There you go.
but that is where I got that tuxedo jacket or smoking jacket. I still have its brother, the black one, and I might just be wearing that one next time you see me.
Very snazzy. It looked very, very good.
I like dressing up a little bit. Yeah, obviously not every day.
Why not? Well, yeah, you know, I mean, but for special occasions, it's something kind of fun, for sure.
In fact, speaking of fashion, this is a weird fact that people inside of Pantheon have never seen me not wear camp gear, like something I got from a camp. This is like my uniform in the office. I just wear one of the many, many, many t-shirts I've gotten from one of the events I went to. Conversely, you know, people from the WordPress community watching this is one of the few times they'll have ever seen me not wearing Pantheon gear. Because when I'm at a camp, I am always, if I'm not wearing a tuxedo, I'm wearing, you know, Pantheon shirt. So this is a rare peek into the real Dwayne.
With a plaid shirt over the top, perhaps?
That was just a DrupalCon. We had the plaid.
Oh, I know, but you were wearing something like that when I were out last year when we were taking picture and the Inception pictures.
Oh, my Inception picture photo. maybe you can slice that in. I can send that gift to you. So I have little rituals that keep me grounded. And when you travel as much as I do, when your life is a little bit chaotic, you have little touch points that like keep you going. So I have basically a uniform that I wear whenever I speak. Last year, and I think the year before that, just nobody noticed, it was a blue checkered shirt, like a blue plaid. I have since retired that shirt. It's not thrown away. That is a shirt I'm keeping forever. But I've replaced that with an actually older shirt that I have that's gray that I didn't want to go buy a new shirt for this, but I thought it's time to change out because I've been called on it now. Now that people are aware that I wear the exact same thing every time I speak, people started calling me out on it. So I had to switch it up this year. But this year, it's the exact same shirt every time.
Well, but it works well for those Inception pictures, right?
It really did. That was a 2018 project, and I will not repeat that because that got so silly in the middle of it. And then I had to do it at WordCamp US when I spoke there, and it was just ridiculous. It was over the top. At the end of it, I get a 24-second animated GIF that goes through my entire year, and that was really nice to have. But was it worth it? I don't know. It's nice to have, though. It's very nice, and I'm very glad I did it. It's not a 2019 project. I have two projects going on this year, and I'm not trying to talk about them until the end of the year. But if you go to all my talks, you might notice a trend of a couple things happening.
Better, I'll have to start watching you on WordPress TV if I'm not there, for sure.
Yeah, and hopefully if you volunteer, you can make sure that my videos get up to WordPress TV a lot faster.
I'm already volunteering on a few too many things, so I'm going to let that go to somebody else.
All right. So anyone else watching, if you want to go to make.wp.org/TV, and I'll take you right to the proper channel.
Perfect.
No pun intended.
Exactly. Same bat time. So one of the questions I'm asking everybody is, what's something you think when you look at hundreds of sites like you and I both do, on a regular basis, what's something you think that people either skip over or skimp on or don't focus enough attention on to take a site from being a decent site to a really good site?
The gut answer that I want to scream at everyone in the entire world is tab-only accessibility. Whenever I go to a website, literally I start hitting tab and see what it does. It's become a default nature for me, unless I'm very specifically going to a website because I need to get very specific pieces of information off of it. Mm-hmm. If I first encounter a website, it's the first thing I do is start hitting tab and see what it does. And the sites where it just goes to the URL bar and that's it, I see too many sites like that. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, it all comes down to functionality and usefulness. I did a fun experiment earlier this year where I started at the border of Maine and New Hampshire on the one, I think that's New Hampshire. Yeah, that's New Hampshire. And just started Google Map, like slowly dragging my way up the one and stopping at all the restaurants along the way, like that are located off the one. And I found out very quickly that people over-engineer restaurant websites a lot. When I go to a restaurant website, I as a consumer want to know like five basic things. Where you are, when you're open, a phone number to confirm all of these things are true, and a menu. That's basically it. So like four things, not five, but so many over-engineered sites that don't take into account what does my end user actually want to do when they engage with this service. Mm-hmm. I think we get caught up a lot in the fancy, I can do this, that we stop to think, should we do that? Again, that speaks to my design aesthetic. I still use 2016 unmodified theme for my WordPress blog because it's beautiful, simple, and responsive and mm-hmm. accessible. Like it's out of the box. It served all of my needs.
Perfect. I love that. And I love that I'm getting different answers from everybody I talk to, which is also wonderful because there are a lot of things that we all need to take into consideration, which is great. So it's almost unfair to ask you this question because you do go to so many WordCamps and meetups and things, but what are some of your favorite, just one or two, because I think probably you and I could talk for hours and hours about this. What are one or two of your favorite WordCamp speakers or WordCamp experiences or talks that you've given, either from, you know, from the audience perspective or from the speaker perspective? Like, what are one or two of your top experiences at WordCamps?
Wow, that is a lot of conversation right there.
I am telling you. I know, keep it to, you know, just grade it down.
So the talks that I reference the most is what I can really base off that first part. So speakers that have inspired me. The two that stand out the most, one wasn't a WordCamp. It was WooConf 2017, the last WooConf that happened. Candace, I'm going to butcher her last name, Burbiggy? We're going to have to edit this out. Because Candace gave this wonderful talk, and she said this phrase in the middle of it that really reshaped the way I thought about a lot of what we do in tech. And it was a very simple phrase. It was, we're not designing a chair, we're designing a human suspension system. And I think she was quoting someone, actually. I'd have to go back and check my notes. But I put that in, I think, about half of my talks at this point, have that quote and attribute to her. It was a great talk, but that moment of like stepping back and asking, well, what are we actually doing? What is the real goal? What is the actual need we're serving? That really inspired me. There's a lot of hesitation here because I go to a lot of Drupal events as well. And there are Drupal talks that I'm like, oh no, but that was a Drupal talk. So that's what I'm doing in my head right now. There's a talk that actually I have pulled up in another window on this machine right now. It's Ben Byrne from Corner Shop Creative. His talk from WordCamp Seattle 2017, I think, on how they extend the WP CLI. I'm actually working on a workshop for WordCamp for Publishers on this, and I'm consulting his notes for a few key points. But I had not really thought through what extending WP CLI could really mean until he gave basically a case study on how his agency did that. And just completely opened my eyes to, wow, we're not really just dealing with, you know, slight modification to WordPress. We are talking about how to do advanced programming completely customizable in a sane, maintainable way over time. From just a development perspective, like completely shifted things. I'm not going to name one of my talks, but the thing that I've started doing in talks in the last year that has changed, no, it's been about a year and a half since, but I'm doing it more in like almost every talk I give now. I am embracing Q&A in a different way. The Q&A section, it tends to go in a number of ways. The worst way it goes is you have that one person who stands up and does a rambly question statement and takes up the entire time, and then you're right. Done. You can't really do anything else. So I'm also worried about, I am the subject matter expert at that point. And like, am I going to say the wrong thing? Am I just going to be wrong up here? And it's about the time I started giving talks about WPCLI, it dawned on me that if I engage the audience for a conversation at that point, rather than like an actual Q&A where I'm the subject matter expert, we're all going to learn a lot more, especially me. The talk that I think that goes, the two talks that go to the best in are my Bash talk, the talk about the command line for your computer, Bash, because everyone's got a Bash story, everyone. But if you say, what's your favorite Bash command? Everyone's got an answer. And I've learned so much. So for those of you at home, look up CD $_, look up that command. It blew my mind the first time I did it. Or CD dash, that's like to change the last directory. The other one is, you just look it up, it'll blow your mind. I get excited about this stuff.
That's awesome.
But the other talk is, nobody wants a website, they want results. The conversation that emerged at the end of that, where I could ask the audience, like, hey, who here charges for discovery and why? I get a rambly answer sometimes, sure, but I also get a perspective of someone actually running an agency saying exactly why they think it's a good idea to do a thing or not. And then that sparks a conversation that it's not me saying there's a right or wrong way to do it. It's what worked for their business versus what might work for your business. And I really have appreciated the conversations that come out of that more than
that's great.
Ever just trying to answer a question and, you know, talking off the cuff.
I love that. That's fantastic. I'll have to remember that sometimes for my talks going forward. I'll be like, and I got this from Dwayne. What's something that you wish that you knew when you had first started out that you know now?
That there will be a temptation to fall to click. And this is true of like anything you do. And this is true of the Drupal world, the WordPress world, any kind of world at all, where eventually you start seeing the same faces and those become your people. To step back and have someone say, hey, just remember, you're here for everyone and everyone's your people, and clicks aren't a good thing. I wish someone would have told me that sooner than later. I have no like terrible, I've been burned terribly. And of course, all of the dear sweet friends I have that I show up to events and I get to see people like Adam Warner in the world and Mendel, I mentioned him earlier. Not to pick on GoDaddy people, but yeah.
This person.
Yeah, Nathan Ingram, thank you. I'm kidding, Michelle. And I love seeing all my friends, but there was a point where I didn't know you. Right. There was a point where I didn't know any of my other friends. And being reminded that, hey, you're here, just say hello and start talking to everyone. I hit that epiphany point about a year ago, and it literally changed the way I felt about everything. And now I am so excited. And not that I wasn't before, but there's an excitement that I feel every time. It's like, I'm going to go. And I get to go to somewhere where I don't know people. Like, I'm going to Asheville, North Carolina this week for WordCamp Asheville. I know a handful of people that are going to that, sure. But I have never been to Asheville. I don't know that community. And I am so overwhelmingly excited that I get to go hang out with that community and meet new people and just be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that viewpoint that I get to go and be part of this thing that I'm currently not a part of, I'm going to go hang out with my friends and we're going to do, you know, a quick closed off thing. that will burn you out so fast. That results in so much mental pain at the end of the day. I still don't see a downside to just embracing the community at large and just, you know.
And it could be as simple as sitting at a table with people you don't know, even if there are people you do know there.
It doesn't have to be, I'm an outgoing person. I could make friends in a room full of people that don't speak English, I think. I would do my best with their language, but I am terrible with languages. Going up to someone you don't know and saying, hey, I'm also a WordCamp. I love WordCamps. Are you having a good time? There's the typical, you can go up and say, hey, what do you do? Or how are you involved with WordPress? I find that kind of does put people on the spot if that's the first thing out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. Now, one of my favorite questions is, what do you do with WordPress? Don't get me wrong. But if it's just socializing, being around, like, hey, are you having a good time? See anything fun? And that will start the conversation going. Everyone at the camp is there. I shouldn't say everyone, but most people are there to learn and to connect. As we all know, probably everyone that's watching this, it's a very isolating world to work with, you know, tools, to work with websites and things.
Right.
Right before this, I was, you know, cursing under my breath heavily for, why will you not just register that command that I did the right way? Oh no, my local machine, I hate you so much. I was really raging at it. Like, I'm laughing about it now, but I wasn't before we joined this call.
Sure, yeah.
But if you don't have things like this, where you are connecting with real people out in the world, that can become your entire world, and man, that gets dark really quick.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I completely agree with you. One of the things I love about people like you is that if there's somebody who doesn't know anybody, they feel suddenly like they have a friend there, which is a wonderful thing. So, all about that.
It's not a WordPress story again, but
it's okay.
I was at an event in Massachusetts earlier this year for the Drupal World, and just did the exact same thing. Walked up to someone's like, hey, I'm loving this camp. Have you ever been to this camp before? Are you enjoying it? And she said later, like, I was so completely overwhelmed. Didn't feel like I fit in at all. And you were just nice. And all of a sudden I realized, like, everybody here is just nice. And sometimes that's all it takes, is just a friendly hello. And it makes all the difference in the world. So next time you're at an event, doesn't matter what event, see someone you don't know, go up and be friendly. Maybe that's all they need. They might not immediately come back. She was very reserved and like, just let people be them, but like, just be friendly.
You mean don't stalk them?
don't like be aggressive with it, you know, obviously, but be nice.
That's awesome. I love it. I'm ready to move into our rapid fire questions, unless there's anything else you'd like to bring up.
This is pretty rapid fire already, but okay, let's go.
Oh, no, these are more rapid fire than that. Okay. What are 2 to 3 WordPress plugins that are on your must-have list?
WPCFM, the configuration management for WordPress. More recently, HTTP2 Server Push. That will automatically kick in the HTTP2 architecture and let you start parallel loading things. I saw immediate performance gains. Everyone's site's going to be different, and there's a lot of argument that maybe it's not even needed, like this parallel asset loading. But as JavaScript advances and we can more fine-tune control that, I think it will be a better asset, and it's just getting used to having the plugin there all the time anyway. Awesome. Not the shortest answer in the world, but
that's okay.
Those are the two I always put on sites.
What is one of the biggest WordPress mistakes that you've made, and what did you learn from it?
Biggest WordPress mistakes I made. Wow, that's a really hard question. I'm learning things from every little failure I ever do, and all the successes too. I'm constantly trying to be learning. So, what would I consider a failure though? Like if I end up getting it working, it's not really a failure. It was a setback.
Okay, so go with so a setback far, then.
Okay.
You want to come back to it?
Yeah, I think I do, because I wasn't ready for that question.
Okay. No worries. What's your proudest WordPress moment?
A proudest WordPress moment, I have a lot of them, actually. But the first time I had anyone come up to me after a talk and say, I honestly didn't know this existed, and I'm going to use this from here on out. That would be the WPCLI talk. The first time I ever delivered that and had someone come up after me afterward, it was the first time I'd ever tried to give a technical talk at all. And absolutely, that felt amazing. That was something awesome. To this day, I'm very, very proud of that talk. Very I'd like good. To do it more, actually.
Then you should.
Actually, maybe that's the biggest setback related as well. So I get very excited about tooling, and sometimes I forget that other people don't know what I'm talking about. And I'll never forget, like, I've had one conversation with a person where I was very excited about WPCLI and the possibilities of Bash. And they basically were very frustrated about some things going on. Wasn't me, but that was the tip of the iceberg. And it was obvious I wasn't listening. It was obvious that they were just fed up with someone telling them another technical answer that they didn't understand. And yeah, I think the takeaway from that is I have stopped assuming people understand. Like, if I say, here's the tool that fixes that, they'll fully grasp what I mean. Like, mm-hmm. And now I am actually pretty careful to step back and say, well, that's like, look at what you're actually doing now. Because I never want to belittle anyone, but if I understand how they're approaching this problem set now, it's a very different conversation. I'm like, oh, just do this. Mm-hmm. And yeah, now thinking back on it, like, that's one of the few moments in my WordPress time that I've ever been embarrassed on, that person reading me the riot act that I haven't thought about that in a while though.
And you learned a good lesson from it because you've changed the way that you approach people. That's wonderful.
Absolutely do.
If you weren't working in web, what other career would you most like to pursue?
I've always said if I had infinite amount of money and I didn't have to worry about it anymore, I would just watch videos all day and help organize them on archive.org. If there was actually a paying job to do that, I might drop out of web and just do that, even though that is web related. My favorite job I ever had in my life, outside of the current one, because this is the best job I've ever had, it was a toss up between two. One was a pizza delivery job, because it was just fun. It was just fun. I did that for about a year in my life back post college. No future in it, didn't pay well, but man, it was fun. Like, even the hard work parts were fun. And I also worked in a factory for almost 3 years through the end of college and right after. And that factory shut down. And that's, part of why I moved on with my life. But being able to just do whatever I wanted in between parts falling off a machine. I read so many books, listened to albums, like drew, wrote, anything I wanted, because I had like, a 45-second cycle takes me 15 seconds to process the part. You could let like up to 10 parts build up before like you process things and it wouldn't really matter. So, I did 5-10 minutes to do whatever I wanted. And then, do my job and then keep going. And mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that job too. So something that's either really fun or mindless, but I don't know. I haven't done a lot of things outside of sales or tech.
See, I was going to guess that you were going to say a full-time stand-up comic.
No, that's a horrible life.
Good to know.
if you haven't watched Jerry Seinfeld's Writing in Cars, Getting Comedians Writing in Cars, Drinking Coffee, highly recommend binge watching it. It's not that long of a show, and you'll walk away with a new appreciation for how horridly depressing comedians' lives are.
Good to know.
It's hilarious, though.
That's a good thing.
I know a lot of comedians, and I would not.
It's a tough life, especially if your jokes don't go over the way you expect them to.
And especially if they do.
Well, there you go.
You think Jeff Foxworthy likes telling the "you might be a redneck" jokes at this point?
Yeah, he's probably a little over that. Yeah.
Let's pay the bills.
Exactly. What's something on your bucket list?
It's going to sound super morbid, but I don't have a bucket list because I'm always surprised I'm still alive. Like, honestly, it always amazes me that, like, I made it this far. I've gotten to do so many amazing things. I've been to, five different continents, 47 states at this point. If there's something I want, I typically figure out how to get it. I don't have a lot of wants or needs in life at this point. It would be kind of cool to, like, actually go to space. I don't know if that will actually happen, if we'll get SpaceX down that cheap, I win a free ticket with the Russians or something. I don't know. But that would be kind of cool. That'd be like the one thing that I currently am not able to do. It would be a cool thing. Maybe not Mars, but just leave the atmosphere for a minute.
Come back. Fly around, experience weightlessness. That'd be fun.
See the Earth as a big blue ball. That would be a really cool thing.
My last question is to show us or tell us about one of your hidden talents.
I'm pretty open about the things that I am talented about. I don't have a lot of hidden talents.
Well, that people might not know about.
It's not really a talent as much as a situation. So there is a sign inside the Pantheon office that declares that I am the local DJ. I curate the Pantheon vinyl record collection. We have about 350 discs at this point in the collection. And when I'm in the office, when I'm in that break room, I can spin records. And somehow somebody thought that would be a good idea to put me on a sign for that. So and I'm told I have a near encyclopedia knowledge of certain realms of music. Which I guess doesn't really come up too much. I guess it does in the karaoke context, but most of the bands that I listen to on a regular basis don't have karaoke songs or cuts of their songs.
Is there any Barry Manilow in that vinyl album collection?
That's the second time today Barry Manilow has come up. Not even joking. And no, we don't. We really should, because you can get some.
I love Barry Manilow.
There's nothing wrong with Barry Manilow. I am one of the people that likes everything musical. Like, seriously, there's not a band you can name where I'm like, you like them. It'd be like, oh, well, that's interesting. That'd be the worst I'd have.
Well, see, I'm a fan of Low, and actually earlier today I was playing Barry Manilow on Amazon Music. So there you go.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
I had a crush on him when I was a kid, but that's a story for another day. And maybe some, bourbon first or something. I don't know.
Sure.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with the community?
I think the biggest thing is step back every now and again, and just like with websites, like, you got to think about what am I trying to do here, and just reevaluate every now and then, like, what am I actually trying to get done here? I'm very happy and proud to say that I am at the point in my life where I'm right where I want to be. Like, I think the examine life is an important thing to have in your life, is step back and say, am I doing something that makes me happy? Am I, feeling trapped? Would I be happier if I went somewhere else? Right now, those answers are no. San Francisco is my home. I love it. Love her dearly. She's cold and indifferent to me back, but it's wonderful.
That's great. I'm so glad to hear that. That's awesome. Where can people find you as far as websites or social media? How can people follow you?
MC Duane is my Twitter handle. Twitter is my absolute favorite of all the social media, mostly because it's event specific and you can just follow hashtags and not actually ever look at your feed, which is mostly how I use it. But mcduane.com is my website, which you can find from my Twitter. And that will have all the rest of my contact details and how to get a hold of me and most of the talks that I've ever given.
Fantastic.
And an upcoming tour schedule. So if you ever want to see where I'm going to be in the world, it's pretty accurate. try to keep it up to date. I just updated it today again. So
we'll see where our paths might cross. Are you going to be at WordCamp Kent?
Not planning on it, but we'll see what happens.
That's in less than 2 weeks now.
Oh.
So, so I'm definitely not. I didn't know if I'd run into you there.
I'll be in Europe. 2 weeks from now, I will be at WordCamp Europe.
Oh, very good. Awesome. Yep. It's exciting. So this will actually air after that.
Okay. So no, I will not
now be at WordCamp Kent.
Okay. WordCamp Boston, I'm planning to be at. WordCamp Montreal.
I'll probably see you in Montreal.
Hopefully. I love Montreal. Especially
I'm going to be in Ottawa this year too. So.
I've never been to a WordCamp Ottawa. I want to go.
Oh, you should come. It's July 13th and 14th, I think. So I'm their WordCamp mentor, so I decided I was going to go.
I want to say there's something else going on that week. Yeah. That's a Drupal event. Is that WordCamp Boston's the same weekend?
It could be, yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, well, it's been fun having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I always like being a guest on things, and hopefully I haven't said anything that – too untowardly here.
Not at all, except that Drupal word came up an awful lot.
Hey, for the right use cases, it's the best.
Very good. Well, thanks for being on the show, and we will be chatting with you soon.
All right. Well, thanks very much for having me, Michelle.
No problem. Bye.